To hear all the clips of the show like this and more, please sign up to our weekly Nolan newsletter at bbc.co.uk/Nolan. How would you feel about your kid in primary school being weighed a lot more often? There's a Conservative MP who chairs the House of Commons Health Select Committee who wants this to happen. She wants it to go further, actually. If your child is then fat, she wants the school to write to you as the parent to tell you that your kids are overweight. I've been speaking about this to journalist Niamh Horan and Catherine Zadesky, and he started by asking Niamh what she thought of the idea.
Look, absolutely. I mean, you're seeing one of the head stories today. I think the fattest man in Britain died this week. I mean, we're constantly seeing these warning lights in the news every other day. And I think that we just have to start tackling it. It's very simple. It's not expensive. I remember going in to do different exams, my spine and that, when I was in primary school, letter sent home. It's not a public
thing. What does it do? We know the way kids get on in school. So what on earth does it do to a kid if all the whole class has been weighed and the fat kid, the rest of the kids are saying to the fat kid, how much did you weigh? Fatty. You tipped the scale. Oh, you were described as being morbidly obese. This is a recipe for bullying, Niamh.
I'm not advocating bullying whatsoever. Wow. But, you know, kids nowadays can be cruel. That is a completely separate issue that you have to deal with within a class. But I'm saying that to use that or the prospect of that as a reason for not tackling children's health is just completely null and void. It's a stupid argument. And I don't even think you should tell the kids the weight. I think you should have them the letters privately and it should be sent home.
Catherine?
And that.
Oh, I think it's a disaster. It's a recipe for disaster. Fat kids get bullied and get marginalised and told they're losers day in, day out. What do they need? An extra test to confirm it in writing to their parents that they're complete losers. This is completely wrong.
There's
a terrible approach. How can you possibly achieve anything? If you want to put in something like a support system which looks at why a child perhaps is slightly larger, but looking at what's happening in the family, looking at emotional issues, looking at, you know, the whole family situation, what's going on at home, who's eating what, more kinds of other things. You want to put in some actual care, then we can talk. But if you're just going to put in stupid fitness tests, which is, you know, just it's a total, I despair. What's it for? What's it actually for? It's to force children to believe that they're losers. I'm sorry, no.
I think it's unfortunate, Catherine, that you see your weight is equated to whether you're a winner or a loser in life. I don't see it like that. I think that
well, then you're not joining in the wider society. You definitely see it like that. Thin people rule okay, as far as I can see, in the most of the media. Well, give me a role model apart from Dawn French.
Well, let's let Niamh talk.
Stephen Nolan.
Hold on.
I think
somebody
is very.
Hold on. Go on, Niamh.
The very first step is acknowledging it, and unfortunately, a lot of parents and children who grow into teenagers are in denial about the weight, and that's. I know about all those care issues. I know about all the emotional factors and everything. But the very first fact is to say yes, there may be a problem here, and we need to talk. I think it's funny, every debate we have, you know, Catherine starts off saying, this is a disaster, this will be a disaster. A disaster? Have you seen the obesity crisis? Have you seen the figures? Have you seen the amount of people who are dying from cancer, diabetes, heart attacks? It's already here in our doorstep, Catherine. How much more catastrophe do you want at your doorstep before you start dealing with little simple steps? And I just think it's all of this. Fretting over it'll lead to bullying or it'll lead to a kid being called fat or, you know, the fact is that you have to deal with it now and you have to deal with it in a proper fashion. And all this hysteria around trying to tackle obesity is not helping anybody.
I'm sorry, but you know I don't agree with the facts and figures that are being strewn out there because they don't have any basis in actual truth, in reality. If you go into a hospital, you don't see it for the fat people. You see it for the same demographics on any street, you know, in the UK.
If there is a letter home, Catherine Zadesky, to a parent saying, listen, we've weighed your kid is different from most of the other children in the school, then that is a wake-up call for the parent and might actually save a kid from serious health problems in the future.
If you agree there are serious health problems, which I don't, but let's just say there are. Let's just pretend for a moment there is a problem here. If you send a letter home to a family who are struggling, who are just about managing to put food on the table, who are just about, you know, keeping their head above water, what does that do to them to tell them that their child is in danger of all kinds of other diseases because they're not feeding them properly? As I said in the beginning, if you're going to put in a care package, if you're going to have a department in the borough, in the town, in the city, or whatever, not just in the school itself, which is going to deal with some of these issues, about food, about poverty, about the idea of what's going on in the family, emotional crisis when someone's died. I mean, you talked earlier on in the program about people visiting, you know, the cemeteries on Father's Day. I mean, that's a huge thing. I would go home and tuck into a nice meal after that, and I'm sure everybody else would. But if the fat kid's been told, oh, no, you're losing weight, you're on salad. We're going to have a nice meal here, but you're on salad because you're...
all these dramatics and all this hysteria, and I just...
What does that do to a child? And what does that do for the child? Absolutely nothing.
Catherine, see the way you are responding to that question and all this emotion about... And you're just struggling to put food on the table and talking about debts and family and all this. All you hear is excuses. That and the victimhood. And that's the exact type of thing that's driving that. And I'm sure when this is brought into schools, hopefully it will be that many health professionals will have to deal with parents like that and have to get past the victimhood and have to get past the hysteria to say, look, it's very simple. It's a very simple problem that's easy to deal with, but you have to acknowledge it and to stop all the hysteria.
So why haven't we all lost weight? If it's easy to deal with, then why aren't we all thin? Because we try, believe it or not, the larger people in this society try and try and try. We go on diets, we do restrict it, all kinds of different things that we do, and yet it fails. So why is that? Can't you look a slightly deeper underneath all these nonsense statistics?
Absolutely, yeah, but for a lot of people...
People come in different shapes and sizes. It's normal, it's natural, and children also have different growth spurts.
Won't you let us know what you think of this at home this morning? If you were to get 0845955578.
Catherine says this comes, people come
if you were to get a letter home as a parent of a fat kid, if you were to get a letter home saying your kid is too fat, you need something to do, you need to do something about it, would you see that as an insult to your child, or would you see it as a proper intervention? Niamh Horan, how do you stop what we know will happen in the classroom? They're all lining up to get weighed. And all the kids are saying to each other, what did you weigh? What did you weigh? And kids aren't stupid. And the fat kid doesn't want to say what they weighed.
I think it should be done by with an overall health program. So they'll do like as part of a fitness test. And the weight is just one of many, many things. It won't be made a big deal of. They won't all be lining up outside an office to go in and to be weighed and all asking each other what they got. And they won't be told
after. Of course they'll ask each other.
As because they won't be told, the children.
For goodness sake, of course they will ask each other.
Can I just say, when I was in school, we also had children in and teenagers in my year who were morbidly obese, one or two, not as many as there are today. They weren't the kids that were picked on. People are picked on for a whole range of reasons. I was one of them because I had acne. I mean, if you're going to use that as an excuse not to tackle this, it's just ridiculous. And the other thing I'll say to you as well is, I'm a perfect example of my mum bringing me up on the day I finished my exams and finished school. I was 3 stone overweight, and she marched me up to the gym and told me to lose the weight, and I haven't put it back on since. Was I emotionally traumatised? No, and I'm glad that she did it.
Catherine?
I'm just breathless with that one. I mean, it's just because one person didn't become emotionally traumatised by me and marched up to the gym since. I mean, whatever. You know, what has that got to do with the price of cheese? Really, this is a situation where the larger child is being bullied routinely at school for all kind of other different things, participation. I mean, the PE system in schools is just malicious sometimes. It's a
I remember.
I mean, people I know don't ever go near fitness again because they've been traumatised at school by some ruthless PE teacher who told them to jump through hoops and whatever. If you're going to have physical exercise in schools, it's got to be inclusive of all shapes and sizes of child. It's got to be bringing people in as opposed to rejecting them and saying you're useless. I mean, whoever has been through that system of picking for teams? And then
one more point. If a child is being bullied because of their weight, and if the parent has it in their hands to do something about their weight, then they should do something. I remember when I was younger and I was bullied about my acne, I went home, my mum tried everything under the sun to get rid of it, because that was like a logical reaction to that, as well as trying to deal with the bullying as well. If you can do something about a child's weight, if they are getting teeth done, then of course you'll do everything in your power to try and get the child's weight.
Finish going to the studio now. What do you want?
Were you a fat child?
Of course I was a fat child.
Were you? And did you get bullied at school because you were fat?
No.
Did you try and lose the weight? Seriously?
I've been fat since I know.
But I've seen pictures of you skinny.
That was when I hit puberty. when I was 14.
Yes.
Something like that. 14. I don't know when I appeared. 14, something like that. And I lost weight that year. And then I kept it off for about a year and a half, playing rugby, captain of the seconds, fit, and then put on all the weight again. But I was fat when I was 6, 7, 8, and I was fat as a baby. Fat when I was 5, 6, 7, 8, 9,
And were you
10.
Aware that you were overweight?
Audrey should be locked up. Essentially, Audrey should be jailed for life.
That's your mum's fault.
Yes.
But were you aware that you were a fat child?
Yes, of course I was aware of a fat child.
Did you get bullied?
No. But there are lots of compelling memories in my head. Like if I think, I used to play for I used to play football. I was goalkeeper, and I could never jump up and hit the crossbar because I was too fat. Mm-hmm. So that used to really, really wind me up. And then when I lost weight, and I could jump up and fly through the air like a bird, felt amazing. But then when I put the weight back on again, felt awful. I have those compelling memories as a child.
So should that not inspire you then to try and lose a bit of weight?
People like you don't understand.
No, excuse me, I go to the gym 4 or 5 times a week, so I understand that
you.
It takes effort.
Actually, I've seen pictures. You used to be fat.
I was a bit bigger.
No, you
were
fat.
But it takes effort. It doesn't just happen.
No, but it's more difficult. I think food is an addiction.
Well,
it
actually
is, yeah.
Do.
And where you can stop alcohol or you can stop drugs, you can't stop food.
Exactly.
But even the thing I knew when I heard that you were saying before that you were on that diet with these shakes and really restrictive calories, I just said that is just doomed for failure. I mean, it's literally you have to do it really simply and eat 6 times a day, small meals, healthy. And I guarantee you'll know the difference. You can just... And the first 21 days are the hardest, but once you do it, then you're just... But you were torturing yourself with the other. That doesn't mean to say it won't work again. You just have to keep getting back on the wagon.
That's the way he does it, Niamh. Everything has to be extreme, and that's why he can't maintain it.
He's climbing up a mountain the other day.
I know. He went for a walk and climbed the mountain. Who does that?
But it's not exercise, it's eating. If you just ate 3 big healthy meals a day, I guarantee in a month, you'd have lost loads of weight.
She just bores me saying things like
no,
that.
No, she doesn't. Niamh, I tell you, I never see him eating. So that says it all. What do you weigh now?
There you go. This is the thing, but it's private eating. And I would do that as well when I put on weight. And Stephen, like lots of people constantly struggle with the weight. It's constantly a battle. You never just say, I did a diet.
I disagree because I actually think that people like you and people like Vinny, I actually don't think you all understand how difficult it is. I really, really don't. And yes, here we go. Here's another discussion now about fat and another discussion about weight. But I genuinely think that there are, for some people, it is... Well, it's some type of addiction. It's some type. Well, I can crack everything else in life, but this, like, I cannot crack this.
But you know what you have to complex. There's a reason that you're not doing it.
People's bodies function in different ways, and
like, but you go to the gym 4 or 5 times a week. That's like a drug to you now.
I don't go to the gym anymore. And if you look, even at the headline article in the New York Times this week was that exercising is fooling people to think they're losing weight. It's not. It's all food. Just cut the junk.
But like, you would miss the gym if you didn't go.
I would miss the gym. When I go to the gym, I usually feel a bit better about myself and I sleep better as well. So maybe it is a type of an addiction as well.
You get tired and can't be bothered.
Of course I do. But if you've got that balance when you do that bit of exercise, you feel like you're making the effort. I know from myself from the past that if I don't, then I will put a bit of weight on and then I'll not be happy about myself and how I look. And plus, I'll be out of breath if I do anything, even going up the stairs or whatever. So if you want to counteract that, then you have to do something about it.
I told the Belfast Telegraph last week that you have turned yourself into a monkey. Did you not read this?
No.
Yes, this was in the Belfast Telegraph. Vinny is now a monkey. This was printed because you sit in the office and all you eat is nuts. Now, each to their own.
I did not give you...
It is not normal for a human being...
I didn't say you could put that in the paper.
It's not normal for a human being to be fascinated by nuts.
That's wrong, and that is a snack that I would have during the day sometimes.
Yes.
Whereas you might go and have 10
a
McFlurries.
Bar or a McFlurry. Or something that tastes like nuts.
But I like the taste of them.
Well,
you
I'm
find
sure you
something
do.
That you
but
do.
But in what way are nuts nice?
They are nice. You get a bit... I am not sitting here to discuss nuts and how they taste nice whenever you eat a variety of them.
They clearly don't taste nice.
But they do. Look, that you don't... I never see you eating. That says it all about you. You're 23 stone and
I
never see you
eating. I'm 22 stone 7.
And you never eat when I see
you. I lost a pound last
week. Must be binge eating. So you know what you're doing. You know what you're doing wrong. And you know what you have to do.
You know the binge eating. Your triggers. You've got to know your triggers. And I bet you they're the same things. They're the same foods over and over again. You don't binge when you're at home. You decide to binge when you're in the car before you go into the shop. And you know what you're going to get.
The
that's where you have to stop.
The fascinating thing about me is last year when I went on that 600 calories. Don't try it at home, it's very dangerous. When I did that last year, somebody could have put, and you saw me in the office, mm-hmm. somebody could have put any food in front of me, I wouldn't have eaten a morsel of it. They could have, like, I was sitting with people when they were eating meals. Mm-hmm. There were crisps.
We went to the Chinese and you asked for chicken, just boiled chicken.
Yep, there were crisps and all that kind of stuff in the mini bar in the hotel I stay in. I didn't touch anything for 15 weeks.
Mm-hmm. You've broken the addiction. It's literally like getting off heroin or getting off sugar or anything.
Yes, but then I went to my favourite hotel in Las Vegas, the MGM.
But what did you expect?
Where they
I see that coming a mile away.
But they do frozen yogurt. They do this absolutely amazing frozen yogurt. Like, I could actually, if I'm about to die, I want you to send me there with a bucket of that right. and pour it all over
Enough
me.
Enough of this.
And that was me away again. I had one big barrel of that, and that was me away for the last 6 months.
But that's the same with an alcoholic
yes.
drink. You can't have junk. You can't have junk ever again if you want to get off it. You can't have junk. And you just have to admit that to yourself. You can't have it once in a blue moon or a treat in front of the TV or at the weekend. You are, if you're addicted to food, you can't have it. So either all or nothing.
Well, I haven't eaten today yet, so today could be day one again. Let's see.
It's day one every day.
Shut up. Thank you, Niamh. Thank you, Catherine.
You're welcome.
Thanks. Bye.
Vincent?
What?
Stuff you.
You're such a horrible wee man. I'm waiting to get you some ice cream.
Lisa's calling us in this from Belfast. Morning to you, Lisa.
Hello.
What do you think, Lisa?
I just sort of think, you know, listening to what people were saying, you know, about, you know, getting a letter from school and what have you, I actually think it's quite a good idea. My daughter goes to a secondary school in Belfast. And, well, it's a grammar. And they did, I think it was part of, like, HE, home economics. They did tests in first year for the girls, you know, like BMI and weight yep. and what have you. But it's all to do with eating healthy. Obviously trying to help the girls, you know, for later life. Now, my daughter is very, very slim. She does not take after me because I am overweight and always have been. But like yourself, Stephen, you know, from school, I was quite sporty in school, was able to do, you know, those kind of things, but I have always been heavy. And I suppose I don't want her to be like that because I don't want her to have, you know, experiences like I have, you know, about being called fat and what have you. But on the other side of that, she was getting the other comments. You're too thin, you're skinny, you've got a massive thigh gap, and, you know, this is the way the girls get on. It's nearly worse, I think, for girls than what it is for boys. I don't know what you think about that. But, you know, I sort of think, you know, it's what you do, that letter, if it came through your door, whether you choose to try and help your child or whether you just let them, you know...
Absolutely, it's so hard, and there's divided opinion, you know, and divided sympathy, levels of sympathy towards people who can. How often do we talk about this in this programme? My goodness, Bernie. Morning, Bernie.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Terrible.
I know. I'm shouting at you as I'm walking along, Stephen.
Why?
I am shouting at you for going on this 600 calorie diet again. Absolutely ridiculous. You never learn, Stephen.
Well, I have to get the weight off somehow.
But, Stephen, you never keep it off doing that. Never. Do I'm out walking at the minute. I lost 5 stone 27 years ago. I changed my diet. Like yourself, I was overweight when I was young. I started off being a stone overweight, went on fatty diets, ended up being 5 stone overweight, and thought, sorry, that's a car passing, as you can hear. And I thought, this has to change. My lifestyle has to change. And I did change, and I've kept it off.
So you've kept it off for 20 years?
27 years, Stephen.
Oh, I couldn't keep it off for 20 days.
Sorry, I can't. Sorry, Stephen.
I couldn't
sorry,
keep it off for
say?
I couldn't keep it off for 20 days, I said.
I keep it off because I want to keep it off, and I've worked hard at getting it off.
What about sending these letters to the schools? What do you make of all of this?
I'm not so sure about... that. I think children do need to be taught about healthy eating. I think it's not up to the schools, it's up to the parents, really, at the end of the day.
Well, Charlie and Carador, you think the letters are a good idea. Tell us why.
So, Stephen, as a parent there of a young girl goes to primary school, you know, parents and teachers need to work together. And the schools already do vaccinations. They already do dental health. And just teaching the children about their weight and showing them, you know, the dangers of unhealthy eating. I think it's a good idea. And even if my weaning was to write home their way a letter, you know, it would make me sit up and take notice and think, am I doing the right thing? I think it's a good call. So I do.
Yeah, but what, you know, as I said earlier, what happens, you know, the kids need to get weighed in school, so all, they'll all know that each other are getting weighed. What happens to the fat kid during that weighing? So whether they get weighed in private or not, kids are kids. You come out, you get into the playground, you get into the classroom. What weight were you, fatty? Oh, I bet you were deemed morbidly obese. You know, is this not a recipe for bullying?
Ach, no. I think it could be done privately and discreetly with nurses and stuff. And
well, kids don't do discreet.
Well, adults do, you know, and the kids don't have to know their weight. You know, it could just be one of these things. You know, kids can be harsh at times anyway, Stephen. But I think in the continual battle of teaching our children health, you know, I think this is a good thing. And I think it's a good thing for lazy parents. You know, they need just throwing the weans out to school with anything in the packed lunch there, or throwing them a few pounds for dinners. Parents need to sit up and take notice of this as well, you know.
Charlie, thank you.
Stephen.
Jimmy. Yes, Bernie.
Stephen, what about educating parents rather than putting the pressure on the children? Because at the end of the day, the majority of the food will be given by the parents. So why not educate the parents instead of taking the children and making them feel bad? And at the end of the day, children are a parent's responsibility, not the school's responsibility. The schools have enough to do educating the children on the 3 hours, never mind educating them on eating.
Bernie, thank you. Jimmy and Coleraine. Morning, Jimmy.
Good morning there, Stephen. How are you?
Well, good morning. How are you?
Not too bad, son.
Good.
What about all these... Is the government going to stand and weigh all these boys some Parliament overweight? Are they going to weigh them?
Are they going to what?
Are they going to weigh them before they go into Parliament?
Yeah, the politicians.
The politicians, yes. Sure, when you look at TV, some of them Parliament programmes... Sure, half of them's overweight anyway.
I'm trying to think of some of our local politicians.
That's true.
I'm trying to think of any of them fat. What do you call your wee man from the Lands Party? Stephen Farry's got a wee bit of a belly, doesn't he?
Aye, so Sammy Wilson as well.
Well, Sammy Wilson. Sammy Wilson has got this unique ability in that he's slim in his pecs. His chest is slim, and he's got a massive belly.
Yes, for the size of, for all the height of him.
Sammy Wilson's huge. He needs to go run up that hill in Stormont.
I know you're talking. And all them ones over in England, sure, they're sitting back, and you can see them half sleeping on one thing and another,
mm-hmm.
and the big bellies all on them and whatnot.
True, Jimmy. Thank you.